Greetings, you're listening to Rebels Remembered, featuring Caitlin DeFord and Kelsey DeFord.
Alrighty, I am Caitlin DeFord.
I am Kelsey DeFord.
And welcome, fellow travelers of the galaxy, and this is Rebels Remembered, and we are on episode 4, Fight or Flight.
I like that little segue you did. To travelers. But yeah, Star Wars Rebels, again, set 5 years before A New Hope, and it's about basically the rebellion beginning and all of that, 10 years after Revenge of the Sith. So Fight or Flight aired originally on October 20th, 2014, and according to the StarWars.com synopsis, it says, while on a simple errand, two members of the Rebel crew steal an Imperial vehicle. This was written by Kevin Hopps and directed by Stephen G. Lee.
And Kevin Hopps, actually, you'll see his name pop up again in other episodes of the series as well as a writer.
All right, so basically picking up where we left off from Droids in Distress, this episode more, again, explores the relationship between Ezra and Zeb. It's basically Ezra being Ezra and not letting it go that he rescued him from the previous events of the last episode.
Alrighty, so the episode begins. It's kind of like the best way I can describe this episode is it's a little adventure, fun, something you can grab a bowl of cereal in the morning and watch and not have to think too much.
Yeah, I would agree.
It's not, there's not too much... I mean, it's just very simple. It's easy to follow. It's, some fans would say it's a filler episode, but I hadn't seen it in a while, and I thought it was very, very funny, very, I like simple, you know? I feel like sometimes we get so wrapped up in story arcs and character that it's nice to have a break from that and just kind of just watch and enjoy the episode. So the episode starts with Ezra on board the Ghost, and he is with Chopper, trying to levitate a bowl.
Yeah, and this is where I was kind of confused because he literally pushed away Callus in the last episode and now he's struggling to lift a bowl. But I don't know, the whole connection with the Force is probably related to emotion, or I'm sure
that's probably what it was. Like, I think last episode I said feel it in the moment. So probably in that moment he felt, I don't know, I do think sometimes the Force can be driven by emotion.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be, but I feel like you have all this untapped potential that's going to rear its head during those heightened moments of life. So he's trying to levitate this bowl. He can't do it. He thinks he's doing it. And then Chopper, who is a little dirtbag. Don't get me wrong, I love Chopper, but he's got some growing to do too, I think, in the series. Who is a constant source of tension between Zeb and Ezra in this episode, reveals that he's holding the bowl the whole time, which upsets Ezra. Ezra chases him. He runs into Sabine. I want to say, I could be wrong, but this is one of the first times that it's revealed that she's painting inside the Ghost.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Obviously, if you look at her armor in the first episode, I mean, you can tell that she painted the armor herself, but this is really the first time we see her actually doing any painting or... So, like, you don't see what she's spraying in her room, but she's, like, basically spray painting something on her wall when Ezra passes her. And, of course, thinks he's being all cool and debonair and stuff by hitting on her, but...
Okay, after he kind of flirts with Sabine a little bit and says, hey, I could be your inspiration for your new painting, and she's, like, kind of rolls her eyes at him. He follows Chopper into the cabin with Zeb, which they share a cabin. I could be wrong, but I don't remember that ever being revealed either until this episode. That they're roomies.
In Droids in Distress, was it that one where Ezra gets kicked out after it's revealed with the ion disruptors? And he's like, it's my room too.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
He won't get back in, so.
Yeah.
But this is, I think, the first time you see this room. I think the last time you just saw a door shutting.
One of my favorite lines that Zeb says when he appears in there is, if you wake me, you're dead.
Yeah.
Like, that is very, I know Zeb's, I'm sure he's older than Ezra, but that is such a teenager response.
Yeah.
You're really overdoing it there.
And of course, Chopper and Ezra beginning to fight. Chopper accidentally shocks Zeb, which Ezra finds really funny until it's not funny. And of course, you know, Zeb gets angry, and according to him, Ezra keeps bringing up every 23 seconds that he saved him from Kallus. So,
he's already done with him by this
point. Yeah, I think at this point he's already kind of aggravated with him.
I can't remember if they...
They end up chasing each other, right? And then...
Well, before that, Ezra climbs up to his bunk.
Oh, yeah.
And it falls on top of Zeb. So he's been shocked and now he's been squashed. And of course, Zeb takes it out on Ezra. He's chasing him throughout the ghost. It's revealed as they're going away that Chopper was the one that took the bolts off of his bunk bed. And I guess it's a bunk bed?
Yeah.
When did he have time to do that?
Yeah.
Like, did he do that before?
Probably before, because he's just a butthole.
So they're being they're chasing each other, they're fighting, they're bickering, and they run into Hera, I believe, in Kanan.
Mm-hmm.
And Hera, being the mom that she is aboard the ghost, like, that's her ship, that's her baby, and they're fighting on it, gives them a list for a supply run. And I guess that's the best way to encapsulate a buddy adventure episode.
Yeah, buddy adventure. Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I think from that moment, oh, okay, this is going to be a Zeb and Ezra
episode. Yeah. But also I think it's funny with Hera, because she's basically that parent where, oh, they're getting on my nerves, I got to get them out of here for just a little bit so we can't break, kind of thing.
It's like, why don't y'all go outside? It's nice outside.
It's nice outside. Go play outside.
Go play outside. Quit hitting your brother.
She gives them, a shopping list, essentially, of things to get. Gives them that list, and, of course, they,
Her ultimatum is, do not come back until you have at least one Meilu run.
Which is a fruit in the Star Wars universe. Of course, they find out later that she's basically sent him on a goose chase because Meilu runs don't grow on Lothal.
Right. Anyway, there's this little market, I guess, for, like, different fruits. And Ezra runs into an old family friend of his parents, which is Mr. Sumar, who's running a little market. And doesn't he ask him for a yogurt or something? And he hands him a yogurt fruit, which... I don't know why. It looks so good. Like, I wish I could have a Yogan. It's like a little purple fruit. He asked him about the Meilu runs, and he's like...
You gotta get him from an independent buyer or black market or something, because they don't grow here.
That's when Ezra realizes, okay, well, Hera's duped us then on this.
Just to get us out of her hair, essentially. And then you figure out that Sumar's being kind of like... I don't want to say coerced. It's not the right word, but the Empire keeps wanting to take his farm, basically.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing that happened back in Sparkle Rebellion. The refugees that got forced off their land. Honestly, if he had sold it, he probably wound up in Tarkintown.
But that also calls back to, especially, how the Empire works, just like any mighty great empire, great force.
Mm-hmm.
They just take, you know, resources.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the Romans, if you look at Napoleon, if you look at Germany in World War II, they take for the soldiers, for the military. Like, they steal weapons, they steal ammunition and food. And I think, again, showing their presence on Lothal, I think I touched on this before. One of the reasons that I liked Rebel so much is it shows what they're doing to the people.
Yeah, it shows you rather than tells you, yeah. I guess, what the Empire is doing.
And what they're capable of. I think, doesn't he tell them, like, he hasn't changed his mind, he's not going to sell the farm, and they kind of just walk away. But, you know, that's kind of the side story, which turns into a bigger overarching part of this episode. But I think when you first watch it, you kind of know it's not going to end well for
Sumar, and his family. So they do end up seeing some Meilu runs, but I can't remember the episode. If it's an independent buyer or black market, I can't remember. But there's this little guy selling them, and they said, oh, great, we found some Meilu runs, and the Empire's the one taking them.
Oh, yep.
Or buying them, essentially. Honestly, though, like, I would cut my losses and head back to, once I got mostly everything, I'd be like, well, yeah. I couldn't get you Meilu run, Hera, sorry about that. Like, I would just give up.
Zeb meets up with Ezra, and he's like, hey, I got everything. And then Ezra's like, we don't have a Meilu run. And that's when he tells him what Hera's done to them. And Zeb's like, okay. But yeah, after that, I would be like, forget it. I'm done with you. I'm going back to the ghost.
It's kind of like when you go to the grocery store, and a friend's like, hey, get me so-and-so, and they're completely out, or you're just done with people. And you're like, nope, sorry. Maybe another day.
Okay, yeah, they inquire about buying the entire crate, but are informed that it's already spoken for. They are taking the vendor's full supply. First of all, what the heck is a bunch of stormtroopers going to do with Mei Lurens? You going to eat them?
Take it to the commissary, I guess.
I mean,
the whole crate full.
Zeb is like, okay, let's just get out here. And Ezra's like, he's like, well, no, we can get one. And he's like, what are you going to do? Use the force? And then Ezra's like, yeah, sure. Why not? He tries to use the force to get the Mei Lurens. And then, of course, at the exact moment, the crate lid is shut again.
Mm-hmm. I also think this is the first time we hear Kevin Kiner's little do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do again.
Oh, yeah. The little music
sting. Not the first time, but one of the times we hear about the little music sting. I don't know if that's Ezra's theme. I don't think it is. But it's like a kind of like the force. Like, first you'll hear the wind, and then you'll hear that do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's this little, that little fight sequence, or this little sequence where they spot Ezra. And Zeb's, along the way, is kind of helping him. Because first he throws the crates at the troopers and he tells them to run. And they take off through the streets and they're climbing up the wall. Zeb's climbing up the wall. He throws Ezra up the wall. They're shooting at Zeb. He falls again and tells him, you know, keep running. So I think that's kind of interesting that I hate you, but we're kind of in this situation together, so there's little moments of he's helping him.
Right, there's a sense of camaraderie in the chaos, I guess.
Yeah, but also, I mean, I can't, you know, I feel like Zeb's also, like, I can't really head back without him, you know. We're kind of, like you said, the camaraderie and of the crew. So then we get to the moment where Zeb is, I think he's cornered by the stormtroopers. And he has this idea. You kind of see it in his head a little bit. Mm-hmm. There's this moment where it's kind of a shot of him where he sees one of the TIEs and he jumps, lands right on the front of the SmackDown, on front of the TIE fighter, jumps in, pulls the guy out, and then lands in the TIE. So now Zeb's in control of the TIE, which then leads to one of my favorite parts, or one of my favorite animations, is when he's shooting and just whirling the TIE around in a circle.
Yeah, a circle.
I love that. But then there is... Sorry. There's a lot of moments in this episode where the animation is flimsy. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we talked about this in the last episode, where there's parts that's really quick, but they're really flimsy. Like, when he grabs that guy out of the TIE, his face, I can't. Like,
he just morphs.
I need to get a GIF of that and show you guys, but... It's right before he pulls that guy out. I laughed so hard at the animation of that.
Yeah, it's almost like a, I don't want to use the term, but almost like a little bit Tex Avery-like, yeah, kind of. A very exaggerated kind of movement going on. Same when he's going down with the TIE and he doesn't really know how to fly it. And the people in the market's reactions of, they're just so over the top with, you know, getting away from this thing.
Yeah, when he flies through the street and you see the people dodging it and it looks so bad. Not the TIE, just them. Ezra is still on the run from the other stormtroopers, I believe. And then Zeb pulls alongside him and Ezra looks and realizes, oh, you're not a TIE chasing me. You're Zeb inside a TIE fighter.
And of course, Zeb being Zeb, he can't just let him in. No. Ezra has to, like, admit, like, they're even Steven. Don't bring it up again that you saved my life because it's annoying. Before he lets him in. I didn't notice how the audio was different. Did you notice that? The way Ezra's voice sounded when Zeb was looking at him through the TIE. It was like kind of muffled because he was in the TIE.
Oh!
I just noticed that little sound effect kind of thing.
I didn't notice that. I'm going to go back and hear that again.
So yeah, Ezra agrees, like, okay, we're even, he allows him to get in the TIE. And then of course, Ezra being Ezra, he wants to fly the thing.
Which, I'm sorry, but I'm like, kid, Zeb barely knows how to fly it. What makes you think you can fly it? They're fighting over the controls like siblings would do. It's like the best way I can describe it is like, you want to play, take your turn on the controller of a video game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to date myself. I was about to say GameCube, if anybody remembers that, but like, No, let me do the level. You don't know what you're doing. You're not doing it right.
You're doing it bad. You're
like, no, leave me alone. I got this. It's kind of like that. But yeah, I was so mad at Ezra there. I was like, dude, you can't fly it.
And then, of course, my all-time favorite scene is when they finally get away from the stormtroopers and they're kind of trying to fly back to the ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And And Kanan and Hera call them on the comm. And then they learn that they stole a tie, and Kanan is furious because it's could jeopardize their whole operation, you know? And it's always my favorite part when Kanan says, well, did you get rid of the tracker? And they're trying to hide the fact that they haven't done it yet.
They're like, oh yeah, we got rid of that. And then you kind of hear Ezra go, And then Zeb's flying it, and he goes, it's under there, it's under there.
I love that scene.
It's like, which one is it, red or blue? And then Kanan can hear them the whole time, goes, it's the red and the blue.
Mm-hmm. But before that, you know, you get a little shot of Sabine, who's painting something, and in Zeb and Ezra's bedroom, she's painting something on the wall, and tells Hera, you can't come in yet, it's a surprise, or whatever. And then there's a sweet little moment when Kanan and Hera, and they're like, oh, it's so nice that the kids are away, basically. Like,
we so have quiet, yeah.
And then they, figure out that they're in a tie and they get upset about it.
Then we head back to the side, kind of the side story a little bit with Sumar and the Imperials. They're back. Mm-hmm. They won't go away. And he tells them once again he's not going to sell his farm. And they're like, well, we're not interested in buying. Mm-hmm. Which, to me, then they shoot his house up. And blow up his house, and I'm like, do you want this land or not? Like,
also, that's not a good way to get people on your side.
No. I mean, when have they ever asked nicely? Mm-hmm. Imperials don't do that. Like, no, we take. Haters take.
Haters take. but yeah, so Zeb and Ezra see the smoke, I guess, from that altercation and fly towards it and realize that Sumar has been taken prisoner along with his wife and, another farmer or someone else?
Yeah, I was kind of confused. Like
it wasn't just him that got taken prisoner. There were some other people, too, that were with him.
I wonder if it was either his family or some of the workers on the farm, maybe?
Oh.
I'm not sure. I know his wife was there. Oh, and there's that moment where Kanan tells him, don't do anything else. Just get rid of the tie and come back to the ghost or the rendezvous point. And, of course, Ezra seeing the smoke is like, he knows who it is. And Zeb's like, we really need the... He's like, no, they're a friend of my parents. And Zeb, being the big teddy bear that he actually is like, okay, we're gonna go do this.
Of course, you got Ezra, who now is able to, once they fly in with the tie, and the Imperials in this episode are so stupid, I'm sorry.
I know.
Like, Zeb calling himself Captain Malu run over their comm and telling them to slow down.
And they do it.
And I'm like, how dumb are you guys?
And then he's like, what's your operating number? He's like, oh, I'm breaking up. Just stay, keep going. Keep doing what you're doing. And you're like, okay. I'm like, you guys are dumb in this episode.
But that allows Ezra to get on board and free the farmers, which he does with the Force. He unlocks the transports. Which, this transport that the prisoners are in is based on a toy that came out in the late 1970s, early 80s. And it's called a troop transporter. So the toy originally transported other stormtroopers in those little slots. This time it's a prisoner ship in this episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, just a little tidbit there. I do love the sequence with, you know, Ezra he's using a slingshot, but then he just starts pelting these guys with fruit.
Yeah, what's funny is they're like, oh, keep firing. His slingshot can't penetrate our armor. And then he just starts starts throwing Maluras at him, and they're like, ah, and I'm like,
knocks them off.
Wait, those hurt you?
An electrical shock can't hurt you, but a fruit can. Okay, we'll take note of that.
And the whole time, you know, he finds those, which I thought was interesting. Why would the Malurans be on, was he on the still on the transport, or did he jump to the Empire transport? Oh, he jumps from transport to transport. So he jumps on theirs, and there's that crate of Malurans.
That's after he releases Sumar and them, I think.
Yeah. And the whole time I'm going, you know, Ezra's got that backpack. I'm like, put it in your backpack. Put the Maluran in your backpack. which it takes him forever to do, but I was saying that throughout the episode. Then Ezra gets into a tight spot with the stormtroopers. He's got nowhere else to go. And then one of my other favorite shots is where Zeb just comes with that TIE fire and just shoots him.
Like, everyone but Ezra.
Like, Ezra's right in the middle, and he just shoots him off, which is really cool. Then he picks up Ezra upside down, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, flies the tie with his feet. Which I guess Elisot can do that better than human, because his feet are kind of like hands.
Yeah, they kind of got
some grip on them, I guess. But still, pretty cool, though, to do that.
And then they get back to the ghost, and there's that funny shot I laugh at every time where her and Kanan are they're outside the ghosts. They're waiting on them to appear. And Harry's like, oh, look, there they are. And they're coming out of the smoke like they just went through a big battle. Like, they're coming, like...
Have you ever seen Independence Day? The shot with Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum coming out of the smoke. That's what it kind of reminds me of.
I mean, it is a cool shot, but it... I don't know. I found it humorous. They return with one Malu run, like Hera said. But here's the thing. They didn't have any of their other stuff. You notice that?
Mm-hmm.
They just had that one Malu run.
Like, let's split this five ways.
Yep. That's what we're eating for dinner tonight. We're splitting it. And then there's that really sweet moment where... If you look at where the episode starts with them and where it ends with them, it starts with them bickering and fighting and chasing each other. When they come back at where the ghosts are, like, playfully punching each other.
Yeah.
It's so sweet.
It's very, like, big brother, little brother kind of thing.
And then once they get back to their bunk, it's finally revealed what Sabine painted. And it's
the moment Ezra's bunk fell on top of Zeb.
Mm-hmm.
And in the corner, she's kind of outed that Chopper did it. Because in the painting, he's got the bolts in his little pincher things. It's not his hands, but...
And then it's real, oh, wait, this is all your fault. You know, because they didn't know it was Chopper. They thought, you know, Ezra... I feel like poor Ezra, but he's like, I don't know what happened. He just fell. And then they, once again, chase Chopper. And it kind of has a want-want-wall moment where it ends where it started.
Yep.
Starts with it's his fault and it ends with it's his fault. So they're kind of, they're not back to square one, but it kind of comes full circle, I think.
Yeah. So out of 10 Loth Cats, what would you rate this episode?
I would give it a, I'd say 4 out of 10.
Okay. I said 5 out of 10. It's not my favorite episode, but maybe just because this is the first time I've seen it in a while, it kind of grew on me a little bit.
Well, I'll go up to 5.
I will say that I think this episode, in my opinion, works better as a short than a full 22-minute episode.
I agree.
So I don't know if you guys know about the shorts of Star Wars Rebels. So they premiered before the pilot, is that correct? So there's, 4 or 5 shorts?
Yeah.
And they each highlight a different member of the Ghost. I feel like this episode in particular could have worked as a short rather than a full-blown episode. Because I don't feel like, again, this is in the episode, one of the stormtroopers literally looks at Ezra and says, you did all this for fruit? And he's like, no. Wait a minute, yeah? And I just feel like, you know, that works better. I think that little buddy adventure would work better as a short, like 10, 11 minutes.
Yeah.
Than a full 22 minute. Because you run into pacing issues because there's only so much you can do with them trying to get a fruit. I feel like.
But at the same time, I understand why this episode exists because... They needed them to work that through that, you know, that relationship and kind of build on it and kind of like, okay, well, Ezra just saved him, but he still doesn't like him. And
but I felt like the last episode was more meaningful in that.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, had, you know, Ezra bonded with him. Hey, I lost my parents to the Empire. You lost your family to the Empire. Like, I feel like that would have been more impactful than.
Yeah.
Let's bond over the fact that we're chasing Imperials, which is, you know, camaraderie and bonding in itself. But I don't think it's as meaningful as. You know, bonding over an experience that you both have similarities with.
Yeah, I agree. I think it worked better as short. Not that it's not good. I just, again, there's only so much you can do getting a fruit.
Yeah, and plus this is, what, the third episode, so, and I feel like the show was kind of figuring itself out a little bit.
Setting up the characters, introducing them to you, introducing them to the audience. I think I'll go up to 5 out of 10 on that one.
What was your favorite moments? I think I've already touched on some of mine, but...
Mine has a lot to do with cinematography. I think I already touched on 2 was where Zeb spins the tie and then where Zeb shoots the tie.
Oh, okay.
That's just probably cinematic, but for me, the locator, that whole scene where they were like...
Yeah.
That whole scene was great. And then probably that whole sequence where... They're running through the streets.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's that sequence I talked about where Zeb's climbing up the wall with Ezra. Mm-hmm.
I like the sequence with Ezra attacking Imperials in the transport and Zeb shooting at him. And...
So, some trivia on this episode. Which we just talked about a buddy adventure. I thought this was kind of sweet. Originally, this was supposed to be adapted into a young reader's book called TIE Fighter Trouble. It's supposed to come out in 2015. It didn't come out in U.S., but it came out in India.
Huh.
Which I thought was kind of funny.
Now, it's a young reader's... It's Rebels. It's this episode.
Yeah. It's this episode, but it's in a little book
So was that children. Was that created first and then the episode, or was
the episode? No, the episode and then the book.
Okay.
Something for kiddos. Which, again, I think this is a great... I don't want to say it's a kid episode, but it's a nice little... Not a lot of thinking involved.
Yeah, I agree. Not a whole lot of, you know, political, economical things going on.
You know. Another tidbit about this episode is Dave Filoni... I don't remember what episode. I don't know if this was on Rebels Recon.
Rebels Recon was originally when the show was on. They would do these little recap videos.
Yeah. I can't remember where he said this, but he said this episode was partly inspired by playing with different Star Wars toys and action figures, like putting characters into TIE Fighter that didn't belong there.
Oh, okay.
So he would put, like, a Wookiee or... and use them in the TIE.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's kind of where, you know, Zeb steals the TIE.
I wonder if she had a transport vehicle growing up that was a toy one time.
Yeah, that's possible. So I thought we could spend a little bit of time talking about... Did you do anything weird with your Star Wars toys or action figures as a kid? I know we weren't technically in it as children, but I have a funny story about an action figure that I had.
Look, I know which one.
You already know it. I got an Obi-Wan Kenobi action figure from Revenge of the Sith.
So like 2005.
And you push a button in his arm. He had a saber and his arm would go... move. You can't see me what I'm doing, but I'm moving my hand up and down. Like Buzz Lightyear kind of. Like he
karate chop action.
And it popped off. And so my Obi-Wan lost his hand, if you want to say that.
Like the whole arm came off or just the little hand?
The hand with the lightsaber snapped off because I guess I just used it too much.
Oh, wow.
And it popped off. And for the longest time, Kylie, like, I'd try to stick it back on. I tried tape. And yeah.
Which is the trial of the flesh there. You used to get like a robotic hand or something.
Yeah, that was the joke. It's like, well... In my story, Obi-Wan's the one that lost his hand. I guess the last thing I want to talk about is Hera's shopping list in the show. Mm-hmm. It's in Arabesh, but I found the translation of it, and she has Melu Run, Science Dip, Space Waffles, Large Bag, Riding Cam, and this is my all-time favorite one. It's spelled D'IL Pykles. PYYKKLES. And I was, when I was writing this down, I was like, Dill Palikes. Then I went, Dill Pickles.
That's what it looks like.
And I looked it up, and yeah, it is basically Dill Pickles.
Why is it spelled that way? Just
to make it look
spacey? Or sci-fi?
Dill Pickles. However you say that.
I don't know what a riding cam is.
I have no idea what that is. But the Dill Pickles killed me. I'll find that and post it on Twitter. It's great.
So what is Arabesh? We have Basic, right?
Yeah.
And we have Arabesh. Basic is English. Yeah. In Star Wars realm, but what's Arabesh?
You know, I don't really know. I know it's technically another language, I guess. But every time you're on a planet, that's the language that you see written out. You don't ever see, like, grocery store. So this was posted when the show first premiered, this episode first premiered, and it's called, it's by The Escapist, and it was posted when the episode aired, or the day after the episode aired. And it is Star Wars Rebels Feels Like a Saturday Morning Cartoon. Star Wars Fighter Flights is a lighter episode, but that's a good thing. Its action is over the top, its villains are evil to the point of silliness. Fighter Flight is the first episode that completely embraces that philosophy, and it's all the better for it. So what's funny is this, when I first saw this headline, I was like, oh, this is probably going to be dissing the show.
Yeah.
But what I like about this article is it looks at the good and the bad. So it kind of talks about what me and you just did.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of a lighter episode. They called it a breather episode because it's not heavily plot focused. Yeah, it says, Fighter Flight is the closest Rebels has come to acting like a Saturday morning cartoon, and that's a good thing. Its silly premise builds to a ridiculous fight sequence. However, Rebels is still trying to force unnecessary side plots into the mix, but thankfully the episode is enjoyable enough that you can suffer through it.
Oh, well that's a little bit.
Yeah, that's a little bit much. I just thought you're kind of... I'm not going to talk about the whole article, but kind of get your opinion on that.
I mean... I will agree this is a simpler episode. It's a more of a filler episode that you can just, you know, eat your cereal with. But I know a lot of maybe Star Wars fans don't like
Star Wars being compared that way to a Saturday morning
yeah.
show. Because it is lighthearted and people are like, I want it dark. I want the darkness and the edginess. That's great. But sometimes you need things like this. You can just, you know. What about you? What'd you think of the article?
I understand where they're coming from. I kind of understand it. Like, you want something to be simple, but you don't want it to be
too simple.
Yeah, I guess. I like the way it's written. Like, it doesn't just straight up diss it, you know, some articles do. So it definitely...
It has its good points in it.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening to Rebels Remembered. You can follow us on YouTube, SoundCloud, and X. Bye!